So today, I don't know if y'all have heard that about Breakfast Church coming up later in April, but we're kind of going to do something in the spirit of that. Dan is planning to do Breakfast Church in like 4 weeks, I think. Right, Missy? Something like that. Yeah. Thanks, Missy. Thanks for help. So, all right. I think it's like the end of the month. So we want to do something that is a different format. So hopefully nobody is concerned, but we're hoping to get together in groups of 5 or 7 in a few minutes here. But you want to say hi?
Hello. Is this one on? Yeah.
Okay. So we want to look at Hebrews 10. So Hebrews 10 is like our core passage, but then we'll show the other passages before the next slide. We'll be reading through Hebrews 10. Before we get there, so Hebrews 10 has kind of 3 sections to it, at least in my mind. We have identity of Christ, the fear of the Lord, and the end of the age. And we all know Hebrews is a summary book, right? So Hebrews is very succinct, and it kind of summarizes the whole Old Testament, summarizes the New Testament, tells us like who we are and how we got here as far as like going over the Old Testament, right? So the section of Hebrews we want to look at is Hebrews 10, 1 through 18 as a summary, and then we'll have other sections that we'll distribute, and we like everybody in the congregation. We have the priesthood of believers, right? We believe that as Pentecostals or Protestants or something. And so the priesthood of believers, actually, as in Hebrews too, we believe the Holy Spirit can work through all of us, right? He can work through all of us, and through the community, we can search out what he's saying to us. We believe that, you know, every one of us can speak that. And we know, like, even the Bible, the formation of the 66 books we have was formed via the community of believers agreeing on what the Holy Spirit was telling them as far as which books go in that Bible, right? And so we believe that he can work through us and with us today as we look at who we are in Christ, right? So that's kind of our focus. So can we all read this together? I will start off, and then I'll drop the mic. But okay. Sorry, it's small. If it's Hebrews 10, it's NIV, if you're looking at that. Okay, so. The law is a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God.' First you said, 'Sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law.' Then you said, 'Here I am. I have come to do your will.' He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice and the body of Jesus Christ once for all." There's one more slide. Day after day, every priest stands before his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered one time sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies with us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I'll make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I'll write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I'll remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary." Amen. Can we go to the next one? All right, so these are the passages. So Sarah has the color-coded sheets. You should take over.
Okay, so I think we have six, one, two, three, four, five. We have five groups. So I think we're actually looking at probably groups of more like four people per group. So that might require people to move their seat just a little bit. Basically, we're gonna give you a paper. Each group gets a different color. And then you just read the passage that is circled on your sheet and talk together as a group about the questions. You don't have to necessarily answer all of them. We're hoping you have time to answer at least three of them. And then we're gonna kind of share out at the end. So once we pass these out, then you'll have 10 to 15 minutes. And the questions, I'll read them out loud.
Can you go to the next slide, Ken?
Thanks for being cooperative. I know this is different than like a typical Sunday.
I guess maybe one more slide.
We're being flexible, right? Okay, so the questions are, what does it say? What does it mean? What is the author saying about the emotional makeup of God? What do you think is the most dynamic, incredible promise for believers? What commitment or action will you take today based on God's word? And what am I going to do about it? Which is kind of the same thing.
Yeah, so if anybody's done discipleship Bible study or discovery Bible study, I think it's called, Jeremy. So the last three questions, the one in yellow, these are actually the same questions that the Iranian underground church asks about every pastor they go through when they try to disciple new believers. So like these are like international questions for like inductive Bible study. So I think they're kind of exciting to use the same questions that Iranian underground church uses. The other ones are just kind of focused on like, you know, how does God feel about us? Who are we in Christ? Because we are emotional people. So, so if you can form groups of like, you know, four to seven people, we don't have to have six groups. We don't have to get all the groups, but. And then what we like after we're done reading through the passages, we like every group to elect a leader or two and present out for 3 minutes what you think it's telling us about who we are in Christ. Like, what is our identity? Who are we?
All right. Ding, 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 ding. Hopefully you got mostly to the end and you've picked a person by now. Sounds like there's been some good discussion. Well, that's okay. You can keep fighting about it because you're not first. That looks like this group right here, the orange paper. You guys had the Romans 8 area. So I will give you the mic if you look like the person.
I got designated.
All right. Thanks, Missy.
Okay. So what does it say? By Jesus coming, he broke the law of sin and death. We are now sons and daughters of God, heirs in the kingdom. The law was imperfect, so we needed a perfect sacrifice. This is kind of answer to one and two. The Trinity comes together working towards our adoption into the kingdom, and this guarantees the promise of everlasting life. Huh? Yeah, she said we're in Romans 8, yeah. Yeah. What does it mean? What does it mean? It means freedom and eternal life, which kind of, Jason pointed out, encompasses basically the entire gospel, what it's for. What is the author saying about the emotional makeup of God? He loves us. He is forgiving. He sacrificed everything for us. The Spirit doesn't want to make us slaves living in fear, but he came to give us eternal life. Nothing can separate us from him. What do you think is the most dynamic, incredible promise for believers? The promise of eternal life, and nothing will separate us from God. What commitment or action will you take today based on God's word? reassurance to see how much God loves us, the ability to make better choices, to be a witness to others, knowing that God has our back and that we do not need to be afraid. And what am I going to do about it? We're stopping fearful. Show glory to God no matter what we might be doing.
Good job, Orange Group. So we're going to put away fear and make sure that we remember how much God loves us. Sounds like a plan. All right, this group, you guys had Psalm 103, and it looks like Jeremy's holding the paper. Before that, though, Kathy said she had just a little word she wanted to share, right?
Yes. Okay, now the words are escaping me. I believe, because of all the darkness around us, that we need to bathe ourselves in prayer for our families, for the city, for the church, everywhere. And it's like a sponge. When you put a sponge in a bowl of water, it soaks up the water. That's what we want to do, is soak up God in our hearts, in our lives. And all the distractions we have, we need to put them away. Get rid of them. That's what I have to say.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeremy.
We did Psalms 103, and what we come up with is what does this say? And it's what we come up with is saying how much he loves us and his mercy and grace and how he forgives us and how short our lives are and how he sees us, you know, is just like children, but yet frail. What does this mean? Can anybody help me out here?
It means that despite us being so small and so frail, like Jeremy is saying, and this psalm shows us how God is everything or you're nothing. In reality, we are nothing, but we are everything to God, so much that he sent his son to die for us. And what is the other question? We skipped to this third question. We went straight to the fourth.
That's the wrong answer.
No, you said at least three. We just skipped one. The teacher said that. So, give me the glasses. The Psalm 103 talks about God's forgiveness, and at the same time, how big He is, and how forgiving and how everlasting mercy He has on us. It even goes through generations and generations. So, what commitment or action will you take today based on God's word? My answer to this was believe. Believe that God really has this love. Believe that he has forgiveness for us, everlasting mercy. Because sometimes we may get stuck in our, you know, and feel sad and feel sorry because, I committed the same thing that I shouldn't. And we get stuck there and don't take advantage of this forgiveness, everlasting forgiveness. So what commitment on action was, I guess everything starts with believe. And Donna said, when go and tell, yes, is the action. Go and tell, be in the word, that's what grandma said. You know, exercise this faith, believe in, because we are not gonna be perfect every day, or even on the day we can be doing something very nice, and the last minute we catch us up doing something that we shouldn't. But anyway, what are we gonna do about it after believing? Yeah, go and tell, be in the word,
walk it out.
Out in the promises. Yeah, what do you think is the most dynamic, incredible promises for believers? Jeremy says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That has a connection with the psalm about faithfulness and love and forgiveness. Grandma said, he's taking us to heaven. Yes, he is. I talk about resurrection and having a different body. Although continue to be humans, we are not going to sin anymore. And that's it.
Excellent. So they had the psalm that I think talked about life being but a breath or as short as a blade of grass, that kind of thing. So here today, gone tomorrow. Good. Thank you, guys. I'm looking for the green group. So, oh no, we just did that one. Pink. He's raising his hand and everything. We've got Galatians coming up.
Hi. Our passages were all from Galatians. It seems in those passages, Paul was talking about law versus faith. There's a lot of interesting stuff in there. Making a long story short, Paul says that the container the Lord gave was the commandments, the laws. You probably know there was more than 10. There were 613 commands and ordinances, and he gave those to people to keep them busy, in my opinion, and to carry the believers along until the right time came for Christ to be here. And then Christ opened the way to a mystical relationship. And so in Galatians, Paul is encouraging that audience and that community to be more into the mystical relation and less into rebuilding some legalistic things that apparently they were trying to do. So our takeaway is to be invited and welcomed into a new mystical relationship with Christ.
Anything else? We're good? Thank you, guys. So not falling into the trap of legalism and remembering that Jesus came to free us from the law that we could not uphold, right? There were, you said 600, how many? 613, I have never counted, so thank you. All right, the last group over here, Ephesians. Did we have someone? Okay, awesome. What's your name again?
Hi there, Alicia.
Alicia.
Hi there, all. I'm Alicia. I'm Catherine's friend. She's been inviting me for a while, so thank you for welcoming me to your church. We had Ephesians 1:4-7. We kind of only answered three questions, so we have two out of one passage and one out of the last passage, because we just, you know, we got to talking. So okay, so I'm going to have somebody else summarize. You did such a better job at summarizing the passage, and then I'll answer the questions. Yeah.
Summarize the passage. Where it talks about how God, when he formed the foundations of the world, he knew us before, and he chose us before the foundations of the world, that he chose this time where we're living, that he trust, you know, this is me talking, I guess, but that he trusted us enough for us to be in this time of the foundations, and that he loved us enough and he trusted us enough to put us here, and that he knew each and every one of us and loved us enough to send his son before the foundations of the world. He knew that.
So the two questions that we have is, what does this say? And we had the three answers: that we were chosen by God, we were predestined before, so he knew this all well before we were even in concept, and then we were adopted. So those are the three that we picked collectively. But I really, really, the one that spoke to me was the chosen, being chosen. You know, we always think that something, you know, just happens, but it's actually of a decree and a divine plan, and it was divinely orchestrated. And then our second question was, the first one was, what does it say? The second one is, what does it mean? So we collectively thought that the human-to-human contact that we have, you know, what I will speak and who I draw to me might be different from some of the other people in the congregation. So I think that that drawing that goodness, people will see that goodness, excuse me, inside of us. And then just our day-to-day going about our life and who we make those connections with. We don't know who will come into our path, who will speak to us also, because I've also gone in and around Sioux City and have had confirmation of things that, you know, have been troubling me or that I've been praying about. And then our surroundings also. You know, some of us may go out to a job or go to different places, and that by day could change, you know, just by us. I know that God's been asking me to shake up my schedule, and he's been changing my schedule, which is making me not go to certain locations. So that's nice that I've been trying to be obedient in that area. And then what is the author saying about the emotional makeup of God? So going back to, this came out of Ephesians 2:2-10, and our answer was God's grace. You know, he's always showering his grace upon us. That rich mercy he also gives to us. And we are also God's vessel, moving to do his good works. And then we lastly had kindness. So
that's ours. Thank you. Yes, thank you. So it sounded like a lot of emphasis on grace. You can keep that. Emphasis on grace, and then something to think about, that God knew that we specific people would be alive at this specific time. So I know I tend to be thankful that I live in the time of indoor plumbing and air conditioning and that sort of thing, but there's more to the story than that. So something to pray about. What does God ask of us at this specific time, and he will give us what we need to endure whatever is coming.
I think it's very cool. Like, I know that normally the adopted or predestined passage is normally like turns into a theological debate about how God works, but I think it's just amazing that, like you said, like he knew us and he still chose us, you know, divinely chosen. That's pretty amazing. Like, what was he thinking choosing me? But anyway, so, but also the emotions, like, you know, to his grace, kindness, and mercy. So thank you, everybody, for choosing a passage. I still got Hebrews 10. So can you go to the Hebrews 10, the first Hebrews 10 slide? There you go, that one. So what does Hebrews 10 say? And so, it says a lot of things, right? And all the passages say a lot of things, but it says, like, by the same sacrifice repeated endlessly, we cannot be made perfect. So, like, it says our sacrifice can never make us perfect. And it says Jesus came instead, right? He said, sacrifice and offering he didn't even desire, but he came. He said, here I am. So he's pushing aside our sacrifices and making his sacrifice for us, right? And then it says, can you go to the second slide? The one verse here that still, I think, blows my mind, right, is verse 14. It says, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And to me that's just confusing, because it says we're perfect and then we're still being made holy. But holy is perfect, so how can we be perfect if we're not being made holy? So anyway, it's like this circle, right? But in Colossians 3:12, which was the white section, which nobody chose. But it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, gentleness, patience. So it says God's chosen people, like Roxanne was saying, Roxanne's group, chosen people, holy and dearly loved. So the Bible repeatedly calls us holy. And like in John 5:24, which is in the white group too, very truly I tell you, whoever has heard my word and believes who sent me has eternal life, will not be judged, has crossed over to life. And so for what it says and what it means, I think the incredible thing that it means is we are perfect and God calls us holy and will not be judged. But also it says in the very beginning, right, that our sacrifices can't get us there. Right, so we are sinful. We do need the blood sacrifice. But once we put a trust in him and what he did, he came. It says he put aside the first to establish the second. When he came to establish the second himself, we are perfect and holy. So I think that's amazing as far as who we are in Christ, perfect and holy. Because then someone else said, we don't have to be afraid. It was the orange group. You guys the orange group? Orange group. So, do not be afraid. And the first part of Hebrews there too, it talks about that. And you look at Zechariah's song in Luke 1, that was the purpose of Jesus coming. He said, so we can worship him without fear. And if we're perfect, then we come before a perfect God, because we don't have to be afraid of him. And if we're loved, then we can know that we can come before a loving God, because we're loved by him. But it's all him working through us, and it's just amazing, right? So so the green group also said, how much you're emphasizing how much he loves us and what can we do about it, what can we believe? I think that's the key, right, Hannah? The Bible tells us who we are in Christ. It tells us we're perfect. It tells us we're holy. It tells us we will not be judged. It says we have crossed over from death to life. In the psalm you guys read, it says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Fear him is like a second part of Hebrews 10. As high as the heavens are above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, taking our sins from us, we can believe. And so we can believe and then we can enter in. Pink group, right? He said that there were 613 laws to keep them busy. That's very interesting. But what we can do is we're invited now into a mystical relationship with Jesus. That's an interesting way to say it. So we can believe, and when you believe, then you enter into relationship with him. Even though you can't see him, he's the unseen God. But believe that all this stuff is really true. We're actually perfect in his sight. How can that be true? We're being made holy. So it says there's sanctification, but believe it and then talk to God and enter a relationship and get to know him. So that's awesome. So thanks everybody for doing the groups and the different passages. That's about it. That's identity of Christ, and there's a lot more passages than that, right? We just chose a few, but yeah. You want to close in prayer, Sarah? Or say, you want to say something too?
Probably both. you may have heard this before. I remember someone saying it when I was in college, was to put on Jesus glasses. So when you put on those glasses and then you ask Jesus to help you to see the people around us the way that he sees them. And I have to confess that Dave and I had some very good friends, mentors to us when we lived in Minnesota. And this lady, her name's Lori, so she's the one that we named our daughter after. But she would just regularly, she had all these kids, and she would just go under a blanket because she said that was the only way she'd get some alone time. And she would see things in heaven. And I remember one time she had said something about Dave, and I didn't see that in him, and I foolishly did not believe it at the time, and now I do, so I'm sorry for that. But with God, time is, I don't understand how time works with God, So one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, right? And then the opposite is true too. So when we ask God to show us each other with those Jesus glasses, he might show us something that has not come to fruition yet, but we still need to believe and pray for that. And so thankful that he sees us through those same Jesus glasses, and he loves us because of Jesus' sacrifice. So I'll pray for us. Yeah. Lord God, thank you so much for the words of encouragement that you give us. And we praise you for seeing us as holy and worthy to come before you. And we ask that today we would rest in your love, and that as we leave this place, we would be confident in our spirit and just very grateful for what you've done for us, Lord. We pray for your boldness to come on us to share that with whoever you put in our pathways. And we ask that you would strengthen this body, and thank you for each person that has come this morning. In your name we pray.